Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench. No Scotty tonight, though. Carver High and Mafia here with you. 844-843-6879. As always, the number to get involved here on a Thursday night. We are rocking, as always, SiriusXM Sports Grid Radio, Channel 204. It is good to be with you. And we've got a lot going on. Plenty of NBA, plenty of NHL. Round one of the Masters in the books today. A stunning round one performance from Justin Rose, shooting just a tremendous round, the 65 that he had. Our boy Dubs Anderson in the second hour. We'll talk about today and what to look for tomorrow and into the weekend. Good evening, Mafia. How are you?
I'm all right, Mike. Coming in here, a little late night action for us too. Literally called off the bench here. Coming in from the bullpen to cover for Scotty. We appreciate the opportunity, but looking forward to talking sports with you. Plenty going on. Lots of game action going on to follow. And these bright Miami Heat uniforms they got going on here. There's a lot of stuff to watch today.
Yes, they have the. I love those, by the way. It's just like with Brooks Koepka today, who was wearing the neon pink. Out at Augusta. You want to rock threads like this? I got no problem with it whatsoever, Moff, that's for sure. And like you said, a little last second, last minute, you could say, pinch hitting here. Scotty's all good. Hopefully back in the mix tomorrow. Nothing major. And we'll be rocking with you now for the next 2 hours on Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio. You mentioned tonight, Mafia, plenty of NBA, including the Lakers and the Heat tonight. Right now, that one, believe we're getting down to the end there, Moff, aren't we? Between the Heat and the Lakers. I'm just throwing it on here in the room now. 95-89. Heat lead the Lakers. About 5.5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. We will get that up. Of course, the Heat were laying 9 tonight, Moff. The fat number. So that is going to be right there to be talked about down to the end. The Bucks up 1 on the Mavs at the half, 56-55. How about the Cavs tonight? Laying the heavy lumber, 120-98 over the Thunder. The Bulls take care of the Raptors. And we do have, Moff, 3 late-night games that we're about to dive into. Jazz Trailblazers, Suns and the Clippers, Pistons and the Kings. That Sun-Clipper game off of the great performance by the Suns last night, beating the Jazz in overtime. That will be the one, Mafia, that I'm sure that we'll have circled here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Suns are one of the best teams in the league. They're one of the hottest teams in the league right now. They don't get enough respect. We keep talking about all these other teams. You know, the Jazz are the ones everyone's getting hyped on this year. That's, you know, outside of the big names of the LA teams, but still, you got to give the, you know, Phoenix Suns some love. Everyone put dirt on CP3 years ago when he got traded from Houston to Oak City. It's like, what's this guy have left? He transformed that team into a badass team that, you know, was covering left and right last year. Then he gets traded again over to the Phoenix Suns. Like, all right, now this guy's going out there to the desert to die because the Suns are always terrible. And instead, he's made them one of the best teams, not only in the West, but in the league.
Yeah, no, done an outstanding job. And maybe that's where we'll start here after the first break. Talk a little bit about this NBA Western Conference. And with all these games going on late night, that is the TNT game, of course. The second leg, the Suns and the Clippers. But Jazz and the Trailblazers is a pretty good one as well. As we look towards that, Pistons, Kings, I actually do like the Pistons tonight. They have been pretty good with the number lately. That is for sure. We welcome in our radio affiliates, Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty tonight, 844-843-6879. We, of course, are rocking SiriusXM Sports Grid Radio, Channel 204, the mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, all of it, Mafia, here on a Thursday night as we get ready for the weekend. There was a lot of hockey, and we'll get into that too, Maf, because I had some interest in quite a few of these games tonight, if you know what I mean. I was on with Smitty and Ariel this morning, and it seems like, and this doesn't happen often, Mafia, but it seems like everything that we talked about and everything that we kind of, you know, we're leaning towards for tonight, all of it so far coming true. And that means that it was a very good night for me and hopefully a very good night for other people as well.
Y'all love that. You know, you always feel a lot smarter when what you say actually happens, right?
Yeah. It's
always nice to have that happen. A little pat yourself on the back moment, but then you can't live in that glory too long because, you know, tomorrow will take it away from you.
Look, there's been ups and downs. There's no doubt. It just happened. I mean, geez, to me today with the Masters, I played a bunch of those three balls, you know, where you pick one guy out of those threesomes and you try to win that today. And I thought Bryson had, you know, great matchup. He was playing with a couple guys who did he play with? I got so mad at him that I stopped remembering who he was playing with. Adam Scott. And I've said, Bryson's got to beat Adam Scott. Come on, plus 100 for Bryson. Bryson hit trees all day long. Just a really, really tough job right there, Mafia, that's for sure.
Yeah, a couple of guys. You know, I know we're talking during the show about Spieth, too. Might as well brought a tent and pitched it. He was camping so much on those woods.
Spieth was just nonstop in the trees. It just wasn't.
Just when you thought this guy was back to championship form, he goes and does that.
But, and he had some good holes, too. He had that one where he hit it in from outside the chip. So Spieth is still going to be in the mix tomorrow, that's for sure. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High End Mafia, here with you, SiriusXM Channel 204 Sports Grid Radio. We get things going right after this. And we are back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High End Mafia, in for Scotty tonight, 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. As always, we're rocking Sports Grid Radio, Channel 204 on Sirius XM and many other outstanding outlets. The Angels and the Blue Jays right now in the ninth, tied at 5. Home opener for the Jays, unfortunately not in Toronto. It is in Dunedin, Florida, as I could see this beautiful minor league park that they have down there in Dunedin. That is a great track. Where they have, I love those minor league ballparks down there in Florida, Mafia, those spring training facilities. It's the best. And I'd like to congratulate Lance Lynn tonight, Mafia, because how many times when we did the Cy Young odds for the American League over the past couple of weeks or past couple months waiting for the season to start, did I laugh out loud that the names after, you know, Cole, you know, and a couple guys at the top, I saw Lance Lynn had like the fifth or sixth best odds tonight. Home opener for the White Sox, 9 innings, no runs, 5 hits, 11 Ks, the complete game shutout. Lance Lynn laughing at me tonight, Moff.
Well, you know, he's got to put a performance like that so Tony La Russa doesn't screw it up, right? Like he did last night with his managing skills right now.
Right. But,
you know, that shows a difference in, you know, La Russa versus all these other managers and these, you know, the stat people and all the sabermetric stuff, because every other pitcher we've seen starting, you know, once they got to like the fifth, sixth, seventh at most so far this season, they're yanking them all out there. And he lets Lance Lynn go complete game already this season. That is something no other manager except Tony Russo, because he's old school and doesn't give a damn, would do. And good on him for that, at least.
Yeah, and you know, and we'll be all over the place tonight, that's for sure. And that's not a bad place to start, because I thought it was interesting yesterday how he threw himself under the bus after the game, basically said that he was the reason for the loss, and I managed the bullpen poorly. They had a 3-run lead in that game and then gave up a ton of runs to the Mariners. I do believe that this was a huge mistake for him. You know, this, I know this is a young team. It's an opportunity to maybe win a World Series or get to a World Series in a not great American League. I don't think that the American League is great by any standard whatsoever. So it is possible for Tony, but I still don't get why he had to come back and manage baseball. He's already in the Hall of Fame. By most standards, honestly, he shouldn't be. Right? If we're not going to let the players in for steroid use, why should we let a guy like Tony La Russa in who enabled it? All right. I didn't, obviously he wasn't in the locker rooms in Oakland and St. Louis handing them out to McGuire, but he knew what was going on. But we put him in the Hall of Fame and Bud Selig. But that's a whole nother conversation, Mafia. I do think that Tony La Russa probably a little too long in the tooth to be managing for the White Sox here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, when you look at a lot of stuff going on, you know, with a team like that, such young players, how do you connect with a guy like that who was at the game for a while, too, not even just his age, just not being around as the game has changed and other things have gone on and other focuses are there. You know, he's going to do things a lot differently than most of these managers are. But also just the fact that, you know, when you look at, like you said, the things that he, you know, let go by and just how different things are managed, how different the game is. It's weird to bring a guy like that back and say, all right, now go do something completely different from everybody else. Not to say that that's not okay sometimes, not to say that's not, you know, the way to win sometimes, you know, you think outside the box, but it's just very strange for all these guys, all these teams to look at what's going on and say, you know, let's get this guy back in the mix. But then again, when you look at guys like Cora and Hinch, who, you know, got busted for cheating and suspended for a year and then welcomed back right away, it just, I guess, shows you the lack of depth we have at the manager position right now, that there aren't that many candidates out there that you're bringing back Hinch and Cora and, you know, pulling the roost out of mothballs.
Yeah, it really is silly. And the other reason why it was just bizarre to me, and we won't go too crazy with Tony La Russa here, bizarre to me is just like you're saying, like the game has changed so much. All these young analytical minds are managing these baseball teams, or shall we say they're being run by young analytical minds at the general manager position, who, you know how I feel about this. I feel that most of them are managing these teams. And the manager in the dugout is, you know, in some situations, a figurehead. Obviously, they have to make a couple of in-game decisions. But I think for the most part, there's a lot of general managers that are right now the lineup cards here for these teams. Young analytical general managers. And I am surprised that with how the game has trended now the past couple of years, that they would put, listen, just flat out say it, an older mind like La Russa in an older school way of doing things to manage, you know, a young team. And so far in his first week on the job, you know, he had a tough one yesterday where he mismanaged the bullpen. And then today, he let Lynn go the whole way. And that's just not how baseball is done today. You know that.
Yeah, that's not how it is at all. And, you know, maybe that's something that they talk to him about. I don't know if that's something they adjust on. But then again, when you look at the guys leading that franchise above him, I think that has something to do with it too. You know, Kenny Williams has been around a long time with the White Sox and around baseball. He's not one of these wonderkins in there trying to change the world. You know, their GM is a guy who's over 50 as well. So, and I think since they have guys of, you know, I wouldn't say Tony's generation because they're still like 20 years younger than Tony, but still, you know, kind of lifers that have been in baseball a lot longer than a lot of these guys that are trying to change the world and do things different with their Harvard algorithms. I think they're more of an old school feel as well. So they went, you know, for the manager that they felt fit their style. And I guess that's a guy like La Russa, although I think you could have still found somebody 15, 20 years younger that could have done it that way too. That's been around baseball their whole life, but still they bring in a 76-year-old. I just wonder, you know, what are you going for then? You think he's going to be a quick fix here? And then you try to win, you move on with all those, that young talent. You figure you're building, you know, for a couple of years, you're trying to build a dynasty the way baseball can control these players. And you're bringing a guy that has what, 2, 3, 4 years left before you got to get him out of there.
Yeah, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't. But he's off to now. I believe they're 4-3 after the win today. They take on the Royals this weekend after that win. That was their home opener. Good for them. Elsewhere tonight in baseball, Astros are up 5-0 on the A's, Mafia. The A's finally won yesterday. They're 1-6, and they're a couple outs away from being 1-7. This was one of those teams I mentioned, weaker American League. I think the A's win total was 86.5. It's not like they're dead and buried one week in if they lose tonight. Now, they're going to be way behind the Astros because the Astros only have one loss. They have played outstanding here over the first week after sweeping the A's in Oakland over four games. But they're up 5-0 again tonight. The A's are weird. Like, in years where you think they don't matter and they're not going to, they end up winning 90 games. And then this year there was a little bit of hype behind them. Oh, the A's are really good. They've made the playoffs the last few years. And now it seems like they're going to pike. You know, like, it's hard to figure out the A's sometimes. And I did think 86.5 was a decent number for them that I thought they could hit. But now they're going to have to start getting into that underbelly of the miserable American League in order to start racking up some wins and make up for this really bad first week that's put them in a deep hole.
Yeah, I was one of the few people that, you know, wasn't really high in the A's, and I'm not trying to say that to pat myself on the back. I'm not excited, you know, I'm not claiming to be a baseball expert. I like the sport, but I don't follow as closely as some of these guys with their, you know, the rankings, the farm systems and this and that. There's plenty of guys that, you know, I don't know yet. I have to find and see them perform in the majors before I know they ever, you know, or anything. But I think the A's benefited from that short season last year, like a lot of people claim the Marlins did. You know, they're always a team that kind of is fluky in the beginning, getting a bunch of wins, and then all of a sudden they start to fizzle out towards the end of the year. But they had the short season last year, so it worked out for them, and they made the playoffs. And, you know, this year is a little bit more of a weird oddity for them, where they just got off to a bad start. They don't get off hot quick. And I kind of always like the Angels as a sleeper there to probably, you know, put things together finally on the offensive side and make up for the lack of pitching that they ever bring in. And they're off to a good start. And I thought Houston might, you know, hopefully stumble with everyone getting on them. We'll see if that develops over the year, over the course of the year. But right now, the Athletics are struggling bad. And another old school guy, Bob Melvin, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, they're 1-6. The Pirates are 1-6. And the Marlins are 1-6. Not good company for the A's to be in. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia. We keep rocking right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879 is the number to get involved. We, of course, are rocking on Sports Grid Radio, channel 204 on Sirius XM. Baseball going on. The Blue Jays and the Angels are in the 10th. Very close play at first base here. He is out. He is definitely out as running down the line. And, of course, Mafia, there's been a lot of extra inning games here over the first week, like a lot. Like there was like 4 or 5 yesterday alone. We got another one here tonight between the Angels and the Blue Jays. And sure enough, like it just bothers me to no end that they do this dopey runner on second base to start extra innings. I think it is one of the absolute stupidest things I have ever seen with what baseball does here. It is so pointless. It is so stupid. And I know that you got people who go, well, you know, they can't play forever, 18 innings, blah, 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 blah. They've been playing the game that way for 100-plus years without a problem. Do you want to know why they have a problem now, Mafia? They have a problem now because now these managers like to use 8 pitchers between the 5th and the 9th inning. So that's why now they have a problem if the game goes past the 12th inning because they don't have any arms left because they change pitchers so much between the 5th and the 9th that there's 600 guys in the game, and now they can't play extras. So now we've got to do this dopey thing where we put a guy at second base and let's try to decide the game that way. It is absolute stupidity, Mafia. You know it bothers me, and I know it bothers you too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, I think that all the changes they made last year, I get why they did it. You know, you had the shortened season, trying to get things moving, the pandemic, blah, blah, blah. I get all of it. It was okay. You know, it was just a weird season. You got to roll with it. None of it should have stayed for this year. I think it was stupid that they kept this rule, 7-inning doubleheaders. Like, you're back to being regular baseball, right? You want to tell us the season's the same? You want to pack, you know, the Arlington Stadium and act like everything's okay again? Well, then play the game like it's being played. you know, like it has been played, because, you know, how many of these stats are going to be inflated now? Guys just getting RBIs because someone's just sitting in scoring position automatically that they wouldn't have gotten before. Or, you know, it's bad enough you already have all these pitching stats inflated because guys just swing away and just try to crush every ball at the ballpark, don't hit for average or opposite field or any of that. So all these pitchers look like they're, you know, Nolan Ryan. Meanwhile, they can't hold his jock because just everybody free swings and no one actually plays the game like they used to. And that makes me sound old, I'm sure, even though I'm not that old. But I just, you know, the way they're playing it now, it's just ridiculous. And you just add to it with these, you know, cutting the game short for doubleheaders, and then shortening it up with these stupid things in the extra innings. Like, that's your fault. That's the way you want to manage it. Then you got to figure out a way to fix it. Just like you have the stupid shift that everyone plays. Well, that's because you hit the ball the same spot every damn time. If you don't want them to do that, hit it the opposite way. Hit it the other way. Find another spot. Like, play the game, you know, like everyone did before, and figure out the holes, figure out the areas, you know, all these things, all these adjustments that are made. If you don't like it, you got to adjust to it, not change the game in order to fit what, you know, the prissy players don't want to play into the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's so true. And there's so many things that they changed. The seven-inning doubleheaders are like, those are never going away again, just so everybody knows. The players,
it's not a full game.
The players love it because it's not a full game and they're getting paid anyway. The media loves it because they get out of there faster. That is never leaving. The seven-inning doubleheader.
Half a game by that. That's four innings. That's half a game you lose.
It's nonsense. And they brought that in last year. Last year, I got it. I understood it. There was a billion cancellations. There was teams that missed 2 weeks in a row for COVID. They had to make the games up. I totally understood. Oh, you know, the Cardinals had to play, you know, what, 36 games in the month of September. They had to play a billion doubleheaders. I get it. That was a good reason to play seven-inning doubleheaders. There is no reason to do it this year. Like the Braves, I mean, the Braves and the Nats yesterday, the Nats hadn't even played a game yet. Like, they just played their first game on Tuesday. They needed to play 2 7-inning games yesterday. It's silly. The second base, it's not the second base in extra innings is the absolute cake. That's the tops. But then the stuff mafia that actually would make a difference, like the universal DH, they don't keep that in the mix, though. Don't keep that in the mix. And teams want it. The Marlins have been screaming. I mean, Mattingly was screaming about it. Why am I getting my pitchers, you know, potentially hurt out here? They had Glasnow, who was told to go up there and not swing the bat from Tampa. It's just all silly, Mafia. And you know whose fault it is? And Scotty says it all the time. It's Manfred's fault. Manfred got tons of pressure. The game needs to be sped up. The game needs to be this. The game. And he's the reason why all this nonsense has started. And it is what it is now. The game's different, as we know, analytically wise, the shifts, things like that. But they've just changed the game so much. It's just not the game that I feel like me and you grew up with. You know, and we're not that old. I mean, I'm 40, you're in your late 30s. I mean, it's not like we're that old, but it just doesn't feel like the game it was when I was a kid anymore. It just doesn't.
No, you have to be a guy who hit at least 280 to be an all-star. Now you just have to hit 20 home runs in the first half of the season. Doesn't matter if you hit 218. I mean, that's just the ridiculous part of it. And, you know, I agree with you. It's all Manfred. And the guy took over, I don't want to say a sinking ship, but he took over a leaky ship. So he's trying to figure out a way to save it. He's trying to figure out a way to make it popular, make it, you know, the nation's pastime again. But the problem is, it's just the world is different and people are going to have different tastes. Like, you want to make some changes to try to do things, try to bring an audience, you know, get on social media, you know, make these guys more prevalent out there for people to actually root for them and want to see them, you know, let people actually know who the hell Mike Trout is outside of Anaheim. Cause sure we do. And some people who are, you know, baseball big fans, they know it, but you know, most of the East Coast doesn't ever see him and you bury him out in Anaheim so that, you know, they don't know how good this guy is. So there's a lot of changes you could make. There's a lot of things you could do to try to bring an audience, but changing the game as much as they have just feel like, it takes so much away from me. And you know, that's part of the reason that I don't watch as much as I did. And you know, as I grew older, I kind of fell out of it with a little bit more too, you know, focusing on other sports. When I was five, it was my favorite sport. The Mets were my team, the Mets, Jets, and everything else. Like, you know, there were background noise. I liked them, but I didn't follow them as much. Now, baseball is dead in the water to me. I'll watch it. I enjoy it. I follow it, but it's like fifth or sixth on the list.
The game really has changed. It just has. It's just amazing. And I sound so old sitting here saying that. I really do. The game has changed. It's crazy. One game from today we have to talk about was the end of this Met-Marlin game. Now, we were doing coast-to-coast when this happened. Of course, the Mets were down 2-1 in the ninth. McNeil hits the homer to tie it at 2. The Mets load the bases, two outs, Conforto at the plate. The pitch, Mafia, and you're a Met guy, and I'm sure you'll, the pitch was a strike. I mean, it looked like it was in the zone. The ump was calling it a strike, and the ball hit Conforto on the elbow. He absolutely, you know, slightly leaned his elbow over the plate. It grazed him. The ump awards him first base, which of course brings home the winning run. The umpire after the game, Mafia, to a pool reporter, said, "I screwed up. I should have called him out. It's my fault." Now there's not, now that doesn't help the Marlins. They get a loss. They don't get to keep playing the game. You can't protest it. But a very, very interesting situation today where an umpire, and they had replay available, but you couldn't. And this is where replay, it's just like everything else we just talked about with how it's changed. You're going to have replay, but you can't replay everything. Like, why couldn't the ump go over and say, you know what, he was leaning his elbow in a little bit, I'm calling him out. But you can't do that because the only some certain things are reviewable. Very crazy situation at the end of that Met-Marlin game today.
Yeah, I mean, I get that in certain situations you don't want to be just reviewing everything and taking long and dragging this out, because the whole thing that they've been doing is trying to speed up the game and try to bring in the younger audience. But, you know, just like the NBA, like the two-minute rule where pretty much anything is up for review in the last 2 minutes or so, you know, up to the refs and what they're – you know, what they're looking for, what they think is important, or, you know, college basketball does a lot of that too late in the game. I think that in a key situation like that, yeah, you should be able to do that. It's, you know, walk off hit by pitch is not what you want. That's not the way you're going to bring fans in, but it wasn't the most egregious thing. You know, I think sometimes when you're doing that, you kind of just get jammed up. Like, the pitch came at him and he's like, you know, he got that freeze where it's like, oh no, crap, I should have swung at this. And he didn't, and it grazed him. But again, that's on the ump. You know, it was not the greatest look for him, but it was worse for the ump because, like you said, he was calling it a strike. And then he's like, oh, wait, it hit me. And then he's like, oh, okay, yeah, then go take your base. Like, the guy shouldn't be telling you what happened. You're letting Conforto then make the call. It's your job to make it and stick to it. So, yeah, that was bad on the ump. But, you know, all these people say they hate review because, you know, you got to have the human element, right? Well, there's the human element in action. We only know about it because the replays you people don't like. So, suck it up.
No, and you're 100% right about that. You cannot have it both ways, because there are people like who do scream, why do we have so much replay? Why can't we just let? And I think that leans more, Mafia, towards balls and strikes. I feel like that's the thing that people bellyache about the most when it comes to the human element, because every human, different human that's back there calling the game, they all have different strike zones. So I think that's why, and they're experimenting in one of those low single A minor leagues this year with the robot umps. I forget which league it is, Texas League, some small single A league. They're trying robot umps. But that was a very interesting situation, and I love that the Met guys actually hammered the umps afterwards and said it was a bad job by them. Tremendous job by them all around. When we come back, I wanted to bring up one more thing with baseball with you from a betting perspective. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. We've got a lot more to do. We'll get into some of tonight's NBA and NHL as well. Masters in hour two with Dubs. The bench rolls on right after this. And we are back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. We, of course, are rocking on Sports Grid Radio, Channel 204 on Sirius XM. One last thing in baseball. I wanted to bring this up with you, Mafia, is an article that Dave Sharapan retweeted tonight. And, you know, Dave, he does in-game live on weeknights with Dane and with Gabe and with Cam, and he jumps in for an hour with KW and Donnie Wrightside on In Play Sports Tonight, of course, here on Sports Grid Radio. And he retweeted an article about starting pitchers and how important they are in terms of which team you want to put action on a nightly basis, Mav. And I thought that the article was fascinating, where it's so true that it used to be, when you were going to look at the card for the day, who's the starting pitcher? You know, that's like the main thing when you're betting baseball. It would be, who's starting for this team tonight? I want to back this pitcher. I want to back that pitcher. And in the article, Dave was in there and Teddy Covers was in there and a bunch of other people basically saying how that's really gone out the window a little bit because these bullpens are so volatile and things get so crazy later in the games and the pitchers don't stay in the games as long, the starters. There's openers now, etc. That the days of just trying to bet baseball based on who's going to be the starter is kind of gone. And it's gone more of the way now where you want to bet these first fives. And the first five innings seems more of the better way now if you want to bet a Cole or you want to bet a Kershaw or one of the, you know, you want to bet these big pitchers. Sometimes betting first five or betting the unders in the first five is a better play than to bet them for the game because those better pitchers are usually getting heavy odds on them and they're usually not lasting long enough where they make a difference. There's so many outs that the bullpen has to get that people are going away from that. And I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. You know, we've talked about that a lot on our show. And for all Coast to Coast, I've talked about that, the last couple weeks with your boy Joe Lisi when we're doing in-game live. I'm sure you and Smitty have brought that up too because, you know, it's just a trend that is constantly happening. And it's been the last couple of years. The more we talk about these numbers, the sabermetrics and all the stuff that these guys are going through where everything says we can't keep the guy in this long. I mean, growing up as a Met fan, I remember Al Leiter pretty much went 7, 8, 9 every time. Like, right. He would throw 130 pitch complete games. Now, you know, if the guy throws 130 pitches between two games, it's a miracle the way they're just playing these guys and protecting them because of the big money. So it definitely makes it harder to bet because you're looking at it and, you know, you're hoping your guy sticks around. And it's, you got to kind of, you know, waffle back and forth on, well, this guy's starting the game, but how long is he going to be in there? Because are you betting him or are you betting the team? Because, you know, like the Mets, DeGrom all the time, as amazing pitcher as he is, they screw him all the time because they never score runs. Yeah. And even if he leaves with a lead, that bullpen, no matter how many times they claim it is, you know, quote unquote, rebuilt, it always seems to let him down. It always seems to cost him wins. You know, and there's guys like that. Santana, when he was with the Mets, was the same thing. The guy should have had a Cy Young with the Mets, but he didn't because the bullpen kept costing him games every game. And every time he was out there, every 5 days, they'd blow his lead. So, yeah, when you're looking at these guys, it's, you know, sometimes, like you said, you got to bet the first fives and look at it that way. Although, you know, if the team struggles sometimes to get off against another pitcher, you're kind of looking at it and say, okay, well, I don't think that they can get that many runs in the first five. So you're betting more of how they're going to handle the bullpens and hoping they get to it than you are looking at the starter sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a strategy that, you know, I'm starting to look at because, and it's funny because we talk about how long these games last now and things like that. There's a lot of times where, you know, and there's so many other things going on a nightly basis, I might not be checking in for an entire nine-inning game. And that factors in for me too. But this perspective of going after starting pitchers for just the first five innings, I think it's something that I was thinking about a little bit before I even read it. And I think about it a lot more now after. And I'll probably retweet it either some point in the show or after the show. I'll retweet it on my account and take a look at it because it is fascinating of how there's like a new perspective of trying to bet these baseball games on a daily basis. Angels and Blue Jays, Mafia, are going to the 11th. Nobody could score with the Fugazi runner on second to start the inning, so they continue to press on there. Astros up 6-0 now on the A's in the top of the 8th. That one just about over. Live in the NBA right now, Bucks up 4 now on the Mavs, 84-80. Right now, -4.5 on the live line. They're still in the third quarter there in that one. Pistons and the Kings are underway. I loved the Pistons tonight, Mafia. I really did. They were getting 7.5 in Sacramento. They've been covering a lot of good numbers. When they're getting 5 points or more, the Pistons have been in a lot of these games. I know that they stink. They're up 41-29 here. It's still the second half. Still plenty of time. But I like this play early on. Blazers and the Jazz are tied at 34 in the second quarter. And the Clippers are out to the 27-23 lead on the Suns. You can still get the Suns. I think it was 6, right, Mafia? I believe it was 6 or 6.5 pregame.
So.
And now it's 7.5 on the live line where you can get the Suns. So the Suns are hanging in there, only down 4 so far at Staples in L.A.
Yeah, it's tough for them coming off the back-to-back, especially this Clipper team. So often you just don't know what you're going to get. As a team that's, you know, high in the West, it's amazing that there is no consistency with them. You know, sometimes you had the game a couple of nights ago where PG just went off. You had like 35 and was lighting it up like you did in the older days. And then you'll have games where, you know, he's 5 of 15 Like we talked about last week when we were filling in for Matt Peralta, and you're like, what the hell is this guy doing? You know, you're costing your team. So there is no consistency with them. And even just the lineup, there's no consistency because who's playing between PG and Kawhi? Who's resting? Who's, you know, can't play back-to-back? So it's so hard to put your finger on them. But you brought up Detroit, and they're – I don't say they're the Thunder of last year because the Thunder, I think, were a little bit better win, you know, just straight up on the record. But they kind of have that feel as far as covering. Like, they're not a good team, but they cover a lot.
No, they really have. I mean, listen, they've had their nights. They don't cover every night. I mean, the Knicks blew them out by 40 last Saturday or whatever it was. You know, they do have their nights. But if you could pick your spots with the Pistons lately, you've been doing a pretty good job with it. And as I, you know, as I'm going to say that, I'm sure by the time we get out of here at midnight Eastern, 9 Pacific, I'm sure they'll be down 15 to the Kings by the time we leave. But in the early going, they're up 13, and they're doing a nice job. The Heat did win. But they did not cover, Moff. The Lakers with the cover on South Beach. And they got a little bit from everybody. It's good to see Drummond actually play 27 minutes and that he didn't have to cry about his big toe getting stepped on. He had 15 and 12. So nice job by Drummond. Caldwell Pope chipping in with 28 for the Lakers tonight. And the great Ben McLemore made his debut. He contributed with 6. So the Lakers don't win, Mafia, but they do cover in Miami. And they continue to try to just tread water until they can hopefully get AD back next week when they get home from this East Coast road trip. And then they hope, obviously, a few weeks after that to get LeBron back. Are you concerned at all, Mafia, with them that they've fallen to 6th now in the West? I don't think that they can get too much further down. These guys should be, especially when AD comes back, these guys should be able to put them in a position where they're not going to be playing in that dopey, the 14 play-in for 7th and 8th. I think that the Lakers will be able to pull out. I know people don't want to see it, but I think the Lakers will be in the top 6.
Well, especially now they brought in Ben McLemore, a.k.a. Pete Carroll's favorite rapper. But yeah. I think the big thing, you know, like you said, without those stars, it makes those other guys be so exposed because now they're in roles that they're not supposed to be. You know, even the games that you're getting, you know, good contributions from Harrell and Schroeder, you know, they're getting 17, 18, which is good as, you know, you're – third, fourth options, or even your second option maybe, but not enough to win games. So when you get, you know, get guys like Pope going off like this, that's big, although it wasn't enough for them. But the bigger storyline from that, for me, from that game is, once again, Oladipo leaves hurt. You know, he hurt his knee. He left the game. During that game, he had to exit because he hurt his knee on a dunk. That guy just cannot stay healthy. You know, him and Gordon Hayward, they had those freak injuries. And ever since, it has been such a struggle for them. I know PG-13 had one of those himself, but he at least, you know, with all the rest they give him because they never play him, you know, seems back-to-back games or back-to-back weeks. I don't know what it is, how much he rests. But somehow he's lasted a little longer health-wise, just hasn't lasted skills-wise. But those two guys in Oladipo and Gordon Hayward, just they cannot stay on the floor to save their life.
I'm sorry, Mafia, but, like, he's just one of those guys, Oladipo. Like, I'm never giving that guy big money. Like, I'm just not doing it. Like, I know that somebody's clearly going to. We know how the NBA works. Everybody gets paid. I would never give huge money to Victor Oladipo. A, he's always hurt. And B, when he's not hurt, he's complaining about something. Like, that just seems that, I mean, and it's not like big complaining. It's not like Draymond Green type of complaining. It's a different type of complaining. It's like a whiny type of complaining. Like, I don't want to be here, or the rumors are I don't want to be here. You could take Victor Oladipo, and you can have him. I wouldn't want that guy giving him big money on my team.
No, a couple of years ago when they were talking about maybe bringing him to the Knicks, I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome. You know, when he was first in Indiana, the way he just took that team over, he was amazing. And then ever since he got injured, he just cannot stay on the floor. And they just keep piling up. You know, he traded to Houston, and now the trade to Miami. And you just see the value depreciating in the trades. I mean, I know Riles is getting old down there, but he's still savvy. He's still smart. I don't think he's going to give this kid what he wants. You know, he's going to try to get him on a lower deal here because you're no longer the man. Now you're the third, you know, option on that team. I just don't know how that's going to go. You know, you brought him in here pretty much saying you're going to sign him. I mean, you're not bringing this guy in as a rental to try to win just one season or one title. So I don't know. You're kind of in a position where you have to pay him, but I don't know what Riley's going to do there because you can't give him the amount that he's probably going to want because you can't just trust him. You can't trust him to stay on the court.
No, and Riley was very adamant, it seemed, when he had that press conference after the trade deadline, when he got Oladipo, that he's got pieces there that he likes and he doesn't want to, you know, those are guys that he wants to go with long term, whether it's Hero, Duncan Robinson, etc. They'll probably pay Oladipo, if I had to guess. I think that they probably will pay him, but they'll probably regret it at some point down the road. And sure enough, the Kings have got it, cut it to 9, Mafia. They're in single digits. The Kings will end up winning this game by 10+. This is what I get for talking up the Pistons. Sure enough, this is how it's going to go now. Jazz have inched out ahead of the Blazers now, 40-36, -5.5 for the Jazz on the live line. And the Clippers now, Mafia. Maybe we could find a little spot here for the Suns in the second half. Keep ourselves interested here throughout the second hour of the bench, because now it's 34-26, 8-point game. Get the Suns at 8.5. I think, Mafia, that if I see 10 or more for the Suns, I might be inclined to dabble. That might be the spot where I might want to get involved.
Yeah, I don't know if I could even pull the trigger on that right now. I know, like I said, the Clippers are inconsistent. The Suns are one of the best teams in the West, but that playing off the back-to-back, going, you know, given everything you had in that overtime game against the Jazz yesterday, you really want to show what you had against them because they are the best team in the NBA. You want to show that you can, you know, stand up to the big boys. I'm not going to say they're taking this lightly because they're not. They're playing everybody, but I just don't know how much gas they have left in the tank here in L.A. And this might be one where the Clippers get, you know, the win that we look at and be like, oh, wow, maybe they are the team that we thought they were. And then they'll go laying an egg in, you know, the next game against a lesser team.
Yeah, and it seems like they are, you know, the starters at least not getting, you know, heavy minutes early on. You know, Paul's only played 8 minutes, 8 and 8 minutes. So Monty's kind of obviously telling you on the second night here, he's trying to give the guys a little bit of a blow. Paul George out to a great start here, 5 of 7 from the floor for 12 points. So the Clips right now up 34-26 on the Suns, the Angels, and the Blue Jays still going in extras as well. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep rocking on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879 is the number to get involved. And you were just telling me, Mafia, as we were coming back, I have to get that on. I still have the Blue Jays and the Angels on in extra innings here. You're saying that the Suns have made a little bit of a run here after we were talking about them getting 8.5 on the live line?
Yeah, they did make a run. They had it cut it down to 34-32, but now they just let up a three. So it's back up to a 5-point lead for the Clippers here with about 8 minutes left in the second quarter.
Okay. I'll keep my eye on it because I always, you know me, if I'm going to get involved with NBA, it's going to mostly be in-game. I will not very rarely play anything pregame. But an in-game for the Suns, if I can find myself a nice spicy spot, I could be involved there. That's for sure. No late-night hockey, though, tonight, Mavi. I'm upset. No 10 o'clock games tonight. Like, come on now. Now, I can't complain. We had a great night in hockey. I hope you guys listened to the morning after with Ariel and Smitty this morning because we had ourselves a night. Whether it was Winnipeg, whether it was Boston, whether it was the puck line for Edmonton, whether it was the puck line for Dallas, we had ourselves a night. But I always get upset, Mafia, when there is no late night 10 o'clock hockey games and we're doing the show.
It's just a failure at the highest level right there. I mean, you got all these, you know, these West Coast teams only playing in the West. So why the hell do you not have a West Coast game? You know, spread it out. Get one every night.
Yeah, it's just it makes no sense sometimes how they do it. And then there'll be a night like last night where there's – or 2 nights ago, whatever it was, there was like 3 or 4 10 o'clock games. So it is what it is sometimes. The Angels have pushed a couple across here in the top of the 11th. It is now 7-5. They just scored 2 runs there. I saw Upton come around. So the Angels now up 2. Your boy Fletcher with the hit for the Angels. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. Hour number 2, Dubs on the Masters and more. We'll be right back.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.